This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 23rd. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a turnaround with Amtrak service. Amtrak was in trouble a few years ago, but Amanda Vinicky has an update on the direction the rail service is headed. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. The University of Illinois is facing a $17 million budget shortfall next year. Despite that, university trustees yesterday approved a preliminary $4 billion budget for 2009. Mike Rhee has more.
The trustees' decision will keep the university system operating through the end of the fiscal year. That's while it waits to hear from the state about its funding. The university says its biggest challenge in terms of costs is energy. Spokesperson Thomas Hardy says utilities are expected to cost the university $120 million.
Last year it was $100 million. A few years ago it was only 80-some million dollars. So right there we see a big gap being created in our budget, just like everybody else has.
Meantime, the university's fledgling global campus is still working to recruit more students. Since January, the online program has enrolled 42. The board approved an additional $3.4 million loan for the global campus, partly to help build the service. I'm Mike Rhee.
Higher gas prices are hampering Illinois' ability to do road work. The Illinois Department of Transportation says its blueprint for highway building focuses mainly on repairs and maintenance rather than expanding roads. Transportation Secretary Milt Cease says there's less money available for expansions or alleviating traffic congestion. Cease says as gasoline gets more expensive, consumption goes down. While motorists try to save at the pump, it's costly to Illinois.
Because our motor fuel tax in Illinois is a flat amount per gallon, it does not increase with the price of gasoline. So as consumption goes down, our revenues decline along with that.
Cease says the state's six-year outlook also places an emphasis on bridge repairs. He says the agency has been aggressive in doing bridge inspections, especially in the wake of the Minneapolis bridge collapse. He says about 9 out of 10 bridges in Illinois are deemed to be in acceptable condition. Those below that designation have weight limits imposed and in some cases could be shut down. Cease says bridges and highways could be improved if lawmakers pass a statewide construction program. Road and bridge improvements are slated for a number of areas in central Illinois the next 6 years. Those include 22 miles of patching and repaving on I-57 from the Coles-Douglas County line to Sadorus Road in Champaign County, and about 30 miles of I-72 will be resurfaced from the Macon County line to Mattis Avenue in Champaign. Champaign's County Board heard a consultant's recommendations for a change at the county nursing home last night. And they heard from union officials representing nursing home workers who said the consultant's idea of change would only hurt the nursing home more. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Healthcare workers under attack! What do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
Union members and their supporters who picketed before last night's county board meeting are against the nursing home staff layoffs due to take place next month. And they accuse consultants hired to study nursing home operations of wanting to balance the nursing home budget on workers' backs. Michael Scavato of Management Performance Associates says he's not calling for wage cuts or more layoffs, but he says the nursing home can't get back in the black without changes in union work rules on problems like absenteeism. He says the proof is in other union nursing homes he's worked with.
The biggest supporters of these change have been the unionized workers, because when you're working short, it affects them most. It doesn't affect the people in the offices. It affects the people that are preparing the food, serving the food, and taking care of the patients. It affects them.
Changes in the union contract and bringing in more private pay residents to offset Medicaid residents are two main recommendations in Scavato's operations audit for the nursing home. Champaign County board members asked plenty of questions about the audit. Chairman Pius Weibel says he's waiting for the full report from Scavato due in about 2 weeks. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A $50,000 fine against the Champaign County Nursing Home has been cut down to a $19,000 settlement. The county board voted last night to approve spending the $19,000 on a mobile health clinic to serve county residents. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reed says in exchange for the health services, the Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board will drop its $50,000 fine against the county for its handling of problems in the construction of the home. Reed says she doesn't have the final number on legal fees paid to an outside attorney on the case, but she thinks the settlement is still a bargain.
I'm confident that the total cost is going to be less than the $50,000 fine would have been, and more importantly, the county is spending money on county residents by providing health care services to those residents rather than paying a monetary fine to a state agency.
At last night's county board meeting, Chairman Pius Weibel blocked an effort by Republican member Stan James to ask about the legal fees. Weibel said that particular issue was not on the agenda. Meanwhile, Reitz says that despite the settlement, Champaign County officials do not believe they violated any state rules in authorizing last-minute repairs to the nursing home. Illinois Senate Democrats are advancing a plan to save the state billions of dollars in pension debt and free up money for the next state budget, but the idea faces some tough hurdles. A Senate committee voted 6-0 last night to issue $16 billion in pension bonds next year. The money would go toward paying down a massive $42 billion pension debt, and it would free up about $500 million for lawmakers to spend on other important needs. Democrats say it only makes financial sense to reduce long-term pension debt and reduce rapidly escalating pension payments, but Republicans stormed out of the committee before the vote after a heated exchange. They say it's foolish to borrow more money to pay off debt and even more unwise to cut back payments to an already underfunded pension system. The measure now heads to the full Senate. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Just a few weeks ago, Amtrak was in trouble. Government threats to pull funding put routes in jeopardy. But the once-struggling passenger rail service says it's no longer on the wrong side of the tracks. The head of Amtrak came to the state capitol yesterday to celebrate that turnaround. Amanda Vinicky has details on what direction Illinois is going with train service.
Emily Kluzinski is waiting at Springfield's train station for a train that'll take her back to Chicago. She'd come to the capitol for work. The reason, she says, she takes Amtrak instead of driving?
Mainly gas. Since it's so much a gallon now, it just seemed like such a waste to drive down. So I mainly did it because of that.
People throughout the United States are coming around to Kluzinski's line of thinking and getting all aboard train travel. According to Amtrak, ridership nationally is up 11%, and Illinois is part of that trend. Illinois added more routes from downstate cities to Chicago and has upped the frequency of trips going from St. Louis to Chicago, and passengers have responded. In the last year, Amtrak numbers show ridership on the Chicago to St. Louis route is up 24%, the Chicago to Carbondale route up 22%, Chicago to Quincy 21%, and the Chicago to Milwaukee-Hiawatha line up 18%. During his visit to Springfield, Amtrak CEO Alex Kumat says that demand will only grow.
When you look at a number of key factors coming together, the transportation crisis, the infrastructure crisis, the energy crisis, the really environmental consciousness at a level it has not been before, those four issues really converge into the need for a national dialogue on transportation. We certainly believe passenger rail is a key element.
Kumat says Amtrak's future will rely on forming more state partnerships, with Illinois' partnership as a model. The state is currently second in the nation in terms of state support for Amtrak and puts $28 million a year towards the service's operations. Kumat says financially, Amtrak's on track. While Amtrak is also facing record-high gas prices, he says the increases in ridership have largely offset fuel costs. And Kumat says he's comfortable with the current self-funding versus government funding ratio. He says less than $500 million of Amtrak's $2.7 billion operating budget come from government subsidies.
The notion that we'll ever be self-sustaining is simply not the case. There is no national network anywhere that is self-sustaining. That is an absolutely legitimate role of government to support transportation, as in fact it does every other mode.
That said, as Amtrak and public transportation advocacy groups look to the future, it's far from a smooth journey. For one, some travelers refuse to take the train because routes run chronically late. The Illinois Department of Transportation's Joe Cleary admits reliability is a problem.
Northeastern Illinois is the major hub of rail in the country. Most rail cars in the country go through Chicago. At any given time, 37,000 rail cars are in Chicago, most of which aren't moving. That's an issue of capacity. How do you invest your capital dollars so that more rail cars are moving than sitting still?
Cleary says last year, Illinois put no money towards infrastructure that would improve the situation. But he says that's what it will take to get Amtrak on time. He says the solution lies in coming up with an extra $400 million for increasing capacity, basically building more tracks for Amtrak and freight trains. Passenger trains are often delayed because Amtrak and Metra, the suburban rail service, don't actually own the tracks, so they have to work around freight haulers. Cleary says funding for the track work is included in the governor's proposed infrastructure plan, a version of which has been on the table for 8 years. Despite attempts to reach a consensus on funding a plan this year, feuding politicians have made little progress. That's also putting other expansion plans on hold, including adding Amtrak routes that'll go from Chicago to Rockford and from Chicago to the Quad Cities, possibly to Iowa City. Paul Rumler is a director of Blueprint, a Quad Cities passenger rail coalition.
It's no longer just an alternative mode of transportation. It's a necessary mode for us. We have high benefits for tourism, for our business connection. Our college students want that connectivity to Chicago.
And there are other projects, too. For instance, Illinois is moving ahead with high-speed rail, although the progress itself is moving at a slow pace. State Representative Elaine Nekritz, a Des Plaines Democrat, says that Illinois has made the investment that will allow the train going from Chicago to Springfield to reach 110 miles an hour. But she says issues like fixing signals still have to be straightened out before the trains can run that fast. Nekritz says Illinois has applied to the federal government for funding and is awaiting a response.
And we're hopeful that within the next 2 years, we could actually be running that 110-mile-an-hour service.
Amtrak says it also hopes to update its out-of-date cars in cases that will include modernizing the look and feel of seats and cabins. It may also involve technological updates that Democratic State Senator Michael Bond of Grays Lake says will increase both customer satisfaction and ridership numbers, offering wireless internet on trains. Illinois' Transportation Department recently completed a study on the initiative and concluded that it's feasible for a $30 million price tag.
I think it'd be a great investment to make on its merit. You know, you jump on a train, you're going to work, you spend an hour, 45 minutes, you jump on, you have unlimited high-speed wireless.
It's a future that Amtrak could only have hoped for just a few years ago, when dwindling ridership numbers and fiscal problems meant many had left Amtrak for dead. But travelers who once scoffed at the idea of taking the train are changing their minds because they say it's too expensive to drive.
$50 to fill my tank up is too much. When I first bought my car, it was $16. And I had my car for 10 years. So it's just too much.
That's Amy Hudson, who's taking the train from Springfield back home to Chicago.
Train number 304, northbound.
Lately, it's a route that often sells out. Escalating gas prices may be a burden for drivers, but a savior for Amtrak, giving Amtrak the passengers it relies on to keep chugging along. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect mostly cloudy skies today, some showers and thunderstorms, the high 67, partly cloudy tonight, the low 51. Mostly sunny, warmer tomorrow, the high 77. Mostly clear tomorrow night, the low 54. Partly to mostly sunny and warm on Sunday, the high 82. Partly cloudy Sunday night with a low of 63. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, May 23rd, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.